Hello everyone. This is another podcast episode related to a BEAM workshop. My name is Rebecca Waldecker. I did the workshop and the topic was how we deal with stress and conflict. And it was, we could say part two of a workshop series about the inner dialogue, how we speak to ourselves. And in the first one, we talked about this topic in a bit more generality, and now for the second one I wanted to emphasize on our inner conversation, the way we speak to ourselves when we are under stress or when there is conflict within ourselves or maybe with others. And I have been asked to do a podcast episode. I will only very briefly touch the general topic of internal conversations. If you're interested, just let me know and I'm happy to do another podcast episode just on that. But now I would like to focus on how we deal with stress. That's the most important topic. We will touch on conflict a little bit because it's one of the sources of stress, but mainly I want to focus on stress itself, how we define it, how we experience it, how we deal with it, where it comes from, what experiences we have with that, and all that. First of all, I would like to thank the participants of the workshop because they have been, as always, really open and they asked a lot of questions. They listened to each other. They gave each other great support and empathy, and I really value that a lot. Thank you. It's much appreciated how you contribute to these workshops. I always leave amazed and I always leave smarter than before. I always learn a lot in these workshops because of your contributions. Thank you so much. And I hope that everyone who listens now also takes something away, independently of whether you have attended or not. Now let's begin to talk about stress a little bit. What do we even mean when we say the word stress, or when we say things like, oh, I feel so stressed, or my day was so stressful, or my job is so stressful, or whatever. What exactly do we mean? So I asked the participants, what do you mean when you talk about stress? And the definitions were a little bit different, but they had some things in common. Stress can be experienced as just feeling different, not as calm as usual, somehow uncomfortable, a little bit agitated, maybe a little bit nervous, anxious. But it can be more. It can be losing sleep or having trouble falling asleep. It can be noticing in your body how you tense up. Maybe your posture changes, maybe your muscles tense up, maybe even in specific areas so that you recognize, oh, I'm tense there, that might be stress. It could be your posture, not only while you sit, but also the way you walk around, the way you hold your head. It could be how you talk to people, whether you are kind of sharp, maybe you snap at people, maybe you lash out. And also I had comments on the breath, and I thought this was really interesting because I also notice a lot when people are under stress or maybe they're nervous, and it shows in the way they breathe. Often when we feel stressed, our breathing becomes faster and more shallow. And this can also influence how we speak, because for many people, when the breathing changes and it becomes flatter and more shallow, and also they have to take more breath maybe, then you can tell in the way they speak because they have to take more breaks, and the voice also sounds kind of flatter, as if it's not really grounded in the body. It's not really rooted within. There's not much resonance. Now, interestingly, depending on how you notice stress with yourself, this can also be a first indication of what you can do to take a tiny pause and just by noticing already releasing a little bit of the stress and the tension. Let me give you some examples. Let's say that you notice that you sit kind of tightly, maybe your shoulders are up a little bit and drawn towards the front, and it feels a bit tense and uncomfortable, or maybe you clench your teeth a little bit and you notice that and you think, oh, I'm sitting in this way here again, I probably feel stressed. Noticing this means that you have the opportunity now to take a breath, change your posture. I'm actually doing that as I speak. It's really interesting how these things work. Look at your shoulders consciously move them a little bit backwards, a little bit down, and just notice how this opens up space at the front of your body. It will naturally change your breathing. It will also change how you hold your head, most likely. If you're one of these people who clench their jaw when they're stressed, just noticing it usually means that you will loosen up. And just opening your mouth a tiny bit will already release tension from your jaw. Another really good way to release tension in this upper part of your body is to take a breath in through your nose and then out through the mouth. And if you only do this once, and you do it consciously, actually I'm going to do it now, it already releases some tension, usually. So if you do something like, even listening to that can already release some tension. And now imagine that you catch yourself feeling a little stressed, you catch it with your posture, or maybe you catch it with your breathing that becomes shallow, you notice it, and then you say to yourself internally, oh, I notice I feel stressed. I notice it the way I sit, the way I breathe. Okay, and then you just take this moment and take one breath. And during this breath, maybe you change your posture a bit. Maybe you release your jaw. Maybe you look differently into the world. You take your eyes away from the screen or from the book or from the notes you're taking or whatever it is, from your experiment maybe, and you take your glance somewhere else, just for a moment. Very often one breath is enough. And I want to encourage you to also move this into your whole body. If you're sitting, just notice whether or not your feet are touching the ground. Ideally, if you take a moment to check your stress level, both feet should be touching the ground fully. Just notice whether this happens. I'm doing it. Again, I'm sitting here and I'm doing it. My feet are touching the ground, not with a lot of pressure on them, but I can firmly feel the ground underneath my feet, and I quite like that. It's cold now. Otherwise, I really like to do these things without shoes and socks, just with my bare feet. Okay, now I'm sitting here, I checked my posture, I'm sitting up, but in a relaxed way, my shoulders are relaxed, my jaw is relaxed, my eyes, I don't feel any tension in my head or anywhere, I'm checking my hands, no, it's fine, I'm sitting here, I'm quite relaxed, I'm taking a few more breaths and I'm checking in and I'm seeing, oh, I'm not under a lot of stress right now. Excellent. Now, if I catch myself with symptoms of stress, then I can use this technique. It only takes a few seconds, once you get used to it, to check in where I feel the stress exactly, and then I can consciously try and release a little bit of it right there. So it could be the tense shoulders, it could be the clenched jaw, it could be that my forehead is in a lot of wrinkles. This happens to me, actually. I have a lot of wrinkles on my forehead because of that. Or maybe it's your breathing, maybe it's a tight feeling in the stomach, this can also happen. Or just your general posture might be tense, and then you can check in and notice it. And just take a few seconds to change this, take a breath, and usually this already helps. I encourage you to practice having this kind of check-in several times during the day to just check your stress level. And if you notice, oh, fine, I'm not under a lot of stress, great. If you notice, oh, apparently I am under stress and I didn't really notice it before consciously, but my body is telling me, oh, that's good, because now you learn something. And then next time you get the opportunity and you can think for a bit, maybe you can reflect on what might be stressful for you right now. But then there's also situations where we feel under a lot of really concrete stress right there in that moment. We know it, we don't have to check in. We actually feel it, we feel tense, we feel anxious. Maybe our breath rate is quicker, maybe our heart rate as well. Maybe it's not just stressed, maybe it's angry or something, agitated. What do we do then? Now, first of all, let's identify possible causes of the stress that you feel. Now, we collected some examples in the workshop and there were so many different things. Sometimes it's people. people we find annoying, maybe in general, or maybe there's just one little aspect about them that we find annoying. Maybe something about their communication, or maybe something in the way they organize their work and how it affects our work, and sometimes that clashes somehow. It could be people who write emails that are not clear and we find that stressful. It could be people who have a slightly unfriendly tone when they talk to us and we find it unfriendly. It could be people who make unreasonable requests, something like, oh, by the way, I need this and I need it in 1 hour. And you think, okay. Lots of things that people could do that we might find stressful. And then the first thing to do, I think, is to notice that the agitation and the stress happens within you. It's not something that the other person actively does, usually, and often not on purpose. It's something that happens within you. It's your response. It's your reaction to what just happened. It could also be circumstances like too many things to do in a particular day, too many meetings, too many things that happen at once. It can be unexpected things like an experiment going wrong or taking longer than you thought or calculations not working or maybe a presentation where someone found a mistake and then you have to correct it on short notice, or maybe lots of people who want something from you at the same time. There's so many reasons why we might feel stressed in a particular situation, and I'm only talking about work. There could also be other reasons that have nothing to do with work. And then there's also another kind of stress that we might feel that is kind of deeper and underlying our day-to-day activities. It could be stress that comes from questioning decisions that we made. It could be stress that comes from a particular situation with people, maybe friends, family, colleagues, maybe something that feels like it might become a conflict in the future. It's not so clear, but it makes you feel uncomfortable, and it's like a little underlying soft tone of stress. Not big, nothing that keeps you awake every night, but it's kind of there and it makes you a little bit less resilient towards all the other stuff that is going on each day. This can also happen. And it could have to do with a decision that you made or a decision that you have to make, or maybe an uncomfortable conversation that you know you have to have at some point, but you're feeling stressed about it. It could be questioning general life decisions, for example, moving somewhere, taking a job, not taking it, moving together with a person, have important decisions about your partner. It could be having a family now or later, where it could be collaborations with colleagues. How close should they be? Do you want to start another project with them, even though some bits were kind of annoying and didn't maybe work out? There are so many things that are going on where we need to make decisions, and making them or not making them and thinking about it can also cause stress. And I would say that this is maybe a different kind of stress, because it's a bit more underlying, and maybe it's not always that present than the kind of stress that we feel when we wake up. Maybe we overslept, we have a long to-do list, and now everything has to fit in within a few hours and we have no idea how to deal with that. And then the telephone rings and then we get 10 emails from colleagues who want us to do something. Okay, that's a different kind of stress. Identifying sources of stress that we often encounter can help us to be prepared. Because stress in itself is not necessarily bad. At least I would say that sometimes feeling a little bit stressed in terms of, how do I mean this? I mean that I'm under a bit more tension, that I'm alert. That's not negative per se. It could make me more awake and attentive. For example, in my lecture, if it's the first lecture of a really big class and I'm a little bit nervous and I feel a little bit under stress because I'm excited and all these students are there and it's the first lecture, yes, I might feel a little bit stressed, but it's not that. I'm excited. I'm curious to see what happens. And this slightly heightened stress level only makes me more alert and more attentive. And I will notice more quickly what's going on and I can respond better to the students. At least that's my experience in the past, that if my interpretation of this stress level is positive in this way, or at least neutral and not negative, then it makes me a better teacher in that situation. It makes me more present. It makes me more appreciative of what is going on, and also it makes me better at responding spontaneously to things that happen that are unexpected. But of course, often when we say that we feel stressed, we mean this kind of negative, uncomfortable feeling. We feel overwhelmed. We are not sure whether we can cope. That's different. I will just talk about myself for a moment. There are certain behaviors in people that I find stressful, and I noticed that over the years, which means that if possible, I can avoid people who show this behavior a lot. If it's not possible, then at least I can prepare myself. So I know, the next few weeks I have a lot to do with this particular person. There will be a few meetings, maybe some emails. I'm prepared for being stressed because of this behavior. Being prepared in this way means that I will not automatically be even more stressed or maybe frustrated or angry if the person behaves as they usually do. It just means that I'm prepared and I know maybe I will feel a bit more stressed than usual because of this person and the contact with this person. That's okay. I might even learn to live with it. I might experiment with different ways to cope with this behavior, and then maybe I will feel less stressed in the future. Why not? Maybe I feel stressed because there are lots of things happening at once. I easily feel overwhelmed by that. Many meetings, many things, lots of people who want things from me, and it's all kind of spontaneous and I'm not prepared for it. But I know myself now a little bit better when it comes to these things. I know that I tend to find that stressful, which means that if I already see in my calendar that there might be a day coming up that might be like this, then I can prepare myself the day before. And also in the morning of that day, I just take a little bit of extra time to prepare myself and to think about the situations that might arise, that I might find stressful. And I'm telling myself, hey, it's okay. You have survived this already many times. It will be okay. Try to stay calm. Look after your breathing. Look after your posture. If you can catch a little break, do it. Go outside for 10 minutes. And in the evening, make sure that you don't have any plans. So maybe you can reflect on the day a little bit, take notes, and just do something nice for yourself. I got better at this over the years, and I invite you to experiment with this concept of being prepared and then taking care of yourself along the way. Maybe if you know you have a stressful day, you have some room to maneuver in the morning. Maybe you can do something in the morning to get yourself ready and prepared for the stressful day. Maybe you can do something during the day, have a little break at some point, or maybe, most importantly, at the end of such a day, what can you do that is good for you? How can you treat yourself a little bit? What can you do in order to say, hey, I did it. It was a really stressful day, but I managed. I did not lash out to anyone. I did not, I don't know, shout at my colleagues or whatever. No, I stayed calm. I was prepared. Yes, some things were unexpected. And yes, I felt stressed, but it's okay. And it's over now. And I know next time I will be able to deal with it again, just because I have some practice now doing that. It's not easy to avoid stressful situations altogether. And therefore, I prefer to take the approach of preparedness. And the more I deal with stressful situations, the more I prepare myself, the more I learn from the experience, maybe do something different next time, the more capable I feel. Now, there are lots of situations that I would have found really scary and stressful 10 years ago, and now I'm thinking, hey, it's fine, I can do that. Hopefully you will feel the same way if you experiment with these strategies that I just discussed a little bit. This is mainly for fairly precise things that happen to us, for example, in our work life. Things like a failed experiment, stressful colleagues, annoying people, or stupid emails that we get that we need to respond to, or tasks that someone gives to you suddenly on short notice, these kind of things. For the more subtle stressful things that might happen to us, like general questions about our life, our job, the decisions we make, that's a slightly different story, because it takes some time to really go inwards and have an internal conversation with yourself about what exactly it is that you find stressful, and then to dissect the word stress a little bit and find more precise words for the mixture of feelings that is probably involved. For example, when I went to the UK as a postdoc, it was kind of sudden. I had not even completely finished my PhD, and I was asked to be an honorary lecturer for a few months, cover a lot of teaching. At the same time, I had to finish my PhD, do my defense and so on, and then I was supposed to stay as a postdoc. That was scary as hell. I was so stressed and I felt so overwhelmed. And if I look back now, I have no idea how I did that, but I did. Apparently, there was a part in me that felt capable and strong enough to somehow go through this. And it has created some resilience within me. Stressful, scary situations can, in hindsight, mean that you build up capacities, resources, and some resilience for the future. We just have to remind ourselves of how capable we have been in the past sometimes. It's easy to forget. At the same time, there were moments when I was there when I doubted myself a lot, and I was worried that maybe this whole thing was a really bad idea. Oh gosh, what was I thinking? Of course. And of course, this can happen in our work life and also in our personal life over and over again. People start a family and then they think, oh, maybe this was too early. Maybe we should have waited one or two more years before we have our first kid. Or maybe they move somewhere and then later they think, oh, maybe this was a bad idea because we didn't know the city well enough beforehand and we were not sure where we would live, and now we are not sure we really like the place. Maybe you change your job and then you have the new job and suddenly you realize that lots of things in your old job were actually pretty good, and now you're thinking, oh, maybe I should have stayed there. It's normal to have this response and it's normal to feel stressed about it. I invite you to go to the root of the stress that you feel. Is it that you are sad about something? Is it that you are worried? Are you angry because of some information you wish you had before? Do you feel that you did not have enough support from friends, family, colleagues, I don't know, in order to make the decision? Do you feel that you did not have enough information? Do you feel that you should have taken more time? Do you feel that you don't have everything it takes now for the new situation to thrive? What exactly is it that you feel? Where exactly does the stress come from? This already can help a lot, at least for me. And then the next step is usually, again for me, to differentiate between things I can influence and things I cannot influence. For example, if, let's say, I changed my job and now I'm worried that maybe it was not a good decision because first all the colleagues seemed really nice, but now over time I realize some of them, I'm not sure, I don't feel as supported as I thought I would. But in my old job, there were several colleagues I really didn't get along with, and therefore that was a good reason to maybe change location. And now I'm doubting my decision and I'm questioning, maybe I should have stayed, or maybe I should have looked longer for different alternatives. Okay, well, I cannot reverse my decision, and also I cannot change the behavior of my colleagues. What can I change? Well, I can try and understand better where my stress comes from. What exactly is it I find annoying, or where I feel uncomfortable, or where it's just difficult to deal with colleagues or with situations? And I can try to understand this in so much detail that I can really differentiate between situations where I have some options and situations where I feel like I can't really do much about it. And then usually lots of things just go away because I cannot change anything there. I cannot influence that. But then for the rest, I can try and create some options. If there are particular meetings that I find really annoying and really stressful, maybe I can kindly bring it up and very precisely say, actually, I noticed there are 2-3 things that happen often in our meetings that I find really difficult to deal with. Can we maybe talk about alternatives? Maybe there are other people who find the same thing really annoying and really stressful. Or let's say that where you work, you frequently run into the same kind of conflict with a colleague because of the working style of the colleague. Maybe it's kind of chaotic and you are very structured and very organized and it always clashes. You cannot change your colleague. What you can try is identify exactly what you find stressful, and then maybe you can talk to the colleague and say, hey, I really enjoy working with you. I find it really difficult to deal with these two or three specific things, and can we maybe sit down and talk about alternatives? Maybe we can come up with a solution that does not disrupt your workflow, which is different from mine, but that also is less stressful for me. And maybe we can experiment and try a few things until we feel the situation is a bit better. I call this radical acceptance, and I did not coin the term. It's definitely older. And I've seen several ways of interpretation of that. But I really like it because if I accept my stress and if I accept conflicts or difficult situations for what they are, and if I differentiate between things I can influence and things I cannot influence, then spotting the little bits where I have some options gives me room to do something. And suddenly I can see options and I can make some decisions. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my internal conversation, the way I talk to myself, the way I think, the way I choose to respond. Maybe it's all me, and then I will do some work on that. Maybe there are possibilities to address something with other people. Great, then I think about how I could do that. And if I'm not sure, maybe I ask someone for advice. But in any situation I treat it like this, I found that pausing and clarifying this a little bit and then concentrating on the bits where I can do something really helped me to find room to maneuver and to deal with the situation in a better and less stressful way. Even if in the end I was not able to change much, just reflecting and accepting some of the things I cannot change already helped a little bit. And this brings me to some sentences that I sometimes hear when I talk to people in coaching situations or in workshops, and they describe a difficult situation to me. Sometimes I hear sentences like the following, and I will address them a little bit and talk about why I find them problematic when we deal with stress. One of these sentences could be, I can't blah 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 blah, this is impossible. Or it could be, I could never blah 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 blah. Or I always do blah 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 blah. So these are sentences for the people about themselves. Of course, we also sometimes hear these sentences about other people. My boss always does blah blah blah. My colleague never does blah blah blah. It's impossible to talk to blah 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 blah. I'm a bit skeptical. I would challenge these sentences, and I mean that I internally challenge myself with these sentences if I ever catch myself thinking something like this. So let's say there is a colleague that I find really difficult, and maybe I catch myself thinking, oh, it's impossible to talk to this colleague and to resolve this conflict. It's just impossible. Is this really true? Obviously not. As long as I can talk and the other person can talk and possibly listen and we can arrange for a conversation, it is possible to talk to this person. Obviously, what I mean when I think it's impossible is that I don't see a way how this would help. I cannot imagine this to be useful. I think it would be incredibly difficult, uncomfortable, challenging, whatever. Which means that in my mind it's impossible, but in reality it's not. Of course, there is the possibility of a conversation. Maybe it's not helpful. Maybe I will hate it. Maybe it's not helping really to resolve anything. But that's not the point. The point is it's possible, although I am telling myself it's not. I'm telling myself a story, and it keeps me stuck. If I change from it's impossible to talk to these colleagues to it would be difficult to have a conversation with this person, or maybe I find it hard to believe that I could have a conversation with this colleague and things would get better, yeah, then at least I'm honest. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying I'd rather not do it. I'm not sure it's a good idea. I find it too challenging. Well, yes, and then I can think about whether it's really not a good idea to at least try. I can find out what I am contributing to the situation, because often in such a situation, it takes two, which means that if I think it's impossible to talk to this colleague, then maybe I have not thought about all the options that I have. Maybe I have not thought about all the possibilities, how I could open up such a conversation, make it possible to find some common ground somewhere. I don't know. It could be something like, oh, it's impossible for me to take this job. It's impossible for me to move to this country and work there. Probably not. Probably it is possible. I just can't imagine it right now. I would find it too complicated, too difficult, too challenging. Yes, and then I can ask myself why. Why do I think I can't move to this country? Why do I think I can't move and take this job? Do I think it's too hard to learn the language? Is it too far away from my friends and family? Am I scared to go somewhere alone? What exactly is it? Why is it in my mind that it's impossible when really it's not? It's just difficult, challenging, maybe uncomfortable. I just can't imagine it for myself. That's different. And if I frame it as, which I think would be more realistic, uncomfortable, difficult, challenging, I can't imagine it, then I can ask some questions. I can ask myself why. And maybe I will surprise myself and find ways where actually this could be possible. And here is another way to approach this. Now, if I manage to let go of sentences like, it's impossible, blah, 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 if I start to ask questions and understand the problem better, then I can go one step further and I can ask myself, under what circumstances would it be possible? Can I imagine a slightly different reality where it would be possible for me to do this? To talk to the colleague, to move to this other country, to take this job, whatever it is. It opens up so much space. I really like these thought experiments, and it has helped me in the past quite a few times when I really thought that something wouldn't work. But then changing my perspective like this and asking myself these questions and having an honest inner dialogue about why I thought before that it was not possible, it opened up so much space, and I cannot even begin to tell you how much it changes. It can really change the trajectory of your life if you approach decisions in this way and not with this, oh, I could never do this, I can't, blah, blah, this is impossible. It closes you up. It takes away options from you. And I understand why sometimes it's easier to do that. But if you feel stressed anyway, then you could as well try and change your perspective, and then the stress will not go away maybe. But it could change into a situation where you have more options and you can do something productive. Therefore, I invite you to challenge yourself every time you catch yourself with a phrase like this. So next time you do something and you catch yourself and say, oh yes, I always do that. Huh? Wait a minute. Is this true? Do you really always do that? If there are exceptions, can you remember some of them? How did they happen? So can you replace this with a statement that is true, or at least closer to the truth? And what does it mean about yourself? And also, what does it mean about yourself that you tend to make statements like, I always, or I never, or I could never, or this is impossible? Where does it come from? What does it mean? And is there some space somewhere to question this and change these statements? I hope that you find this helpful. We have now talked about stress, sources of stress, ways to deal with that, ways to change your inner dialogue a little bit, ask more questions, and just challenge some of the things that you believe and that you think about yourself. Conflict, of course, is a major source of stress for many people, conflicts that we have internally, but also conflicts with other people. And I hope that some of the examples I gave you already indicate how I think we can approach this. And I'm still practicing. I have to admit it, I'm not good with conflict. I have had situations in the past where I really waited quite long. It was okay, but I thought it was quite long. I'm trying to get better. Before I talked to a person and said, you know, I feel that we are coming close to a situation where we might run into a conflict. I feel a tension here. I feel that we are not communicating very good there. Can we please sit down and try and have a conversation and understand what's going on here? And in this way, I managed to avoid a conflict that might have occurred otherwise. But of course, I had to be kind of brave and go there and talk to the person. And it was an uncomfortable situation. I was way out of my comfort zone, which is why I'm still practicing. I'm not saying I'm good at that, but I'm doing my best. So sometimes in this way, I can feel a potential conflict arising. And then if I reflect and I understand what I might be contributing to that, and then I go and I have a conversation, often I can solve the problem before it really arises. Not always. Of course, sometimes I get it wrong. Maybe I have an impression of the situation that is completely different from what the other person thinks, and then maybe I make it worse by addressing it. Maybe. Or maybe the other person doesn't want to have such a conversation. Okay, then there's not much I can do. I can only go back to myself and my inner conversation. What else can happen? It can happen that a conflict is brought to me and I was not even aware of a problem before, but then someone comes and says, oh, here, there's this big problem and it's all your fault, and oh, okay, then there is a conflict right there and we have to deal with it. And then again, I would like to invite you to ask questions rather than assuming that you already know everything about the situation. What I find very often is that what I think is going on is not necessarily what the other people think is going on. Very often, it's quite far apart. Maybe we have a conversation and I'm thinking, okay, now everything is clear, the other person walks away, it's fine, I walk away, it's fine, and then later I learned that the other person had a completely different impression from the conversation and there were still some open ends. Okay, I need to know, and then I can ask and maybe we can have part two of the conversation. But often we assume to know what the other person thinks and it has nothing to do with what the person actually thinks. And then I think we should just ask. This becomes problematic if the other person doesn't want to have a conversation, or if the other person, for whatever reason, does not feel like they can tell us the truth. Yes, lots of ways this can still go wrong, but I think it's always worth a try. Finally, I would like to close with some little practices that I shared with the participants and that can be helpful just for our daily practices, so that we frequently check in with ourselves and kind of have open eyes for our stress level and also for potential conflicts that might arise somewhere. I would like to invite you to practice gratitude every day, in particular when we feel really stressed. Maybe there are external reasons and we cannot really do much, but even then, I think it's important to sit down and think about things that are good in our life, things that we are grateful for, just to give us a tiny bit of a more positive start into the day. I really like to do this in the morning and in the evening, and even sometimes during the day. If there was a difficult situation and I'm walking out and I'm thinking, oh my God, and the day is not over yet, that's when I need to sit down, check my breathing, and take a minute and find three things I'm grateful for. And then usually the rest of the day goes smoothly, just because I grounded myself there for a minute. And hopefully you will find that if you start being grateful for things, then it doesn't stop at three or five things, but then you can name 10 or 20 things. It's great how if we practice this, we are much more aware of things we can be grateful for, even tiny little things. Also, I really like to think about situations where I felt capable. In particular, when I know that there are difficult times ahead, if I know I have to go into a difficult conversation, or if I know that, I don't know, there will be difficult days, things could go wrong, I might feel stressed, I might feel I'm worried whether I'm capable enough. Then I like to remind myself of things from the past where I felt really good and capable and confident. This means sitting down, or maybe even writing a little list of things, however you want to do this, remembering situations where you did something really well. Maybe people gave you compliments about something. Maybe you got great feedback about a talk. Maybe you prepared a presentation well and you gave it and everything ran the way you thought and you felt really good afterwards. Maybe it was the opposite. Maybe you went somewhere, you were prepared, it was complete chaos, everything went wrong, but then you started improvising and you saved the situation and everyone was happy afterwards. And you're thinking, oh great, I felt so capable afterwards because I was willing and able to improvise my way through this. Maybe you get good feedback from your students, maybe from colleagues, maybe an experiment works out way better than you thought. You got really good data and you have the capability, the skills, you know what to do, how to analyze this, how to move on working with that, and you feel really capable. Who knows? It could be so many things. It could also be much more personal things like overcoming difficult situations, the loss of someone you love, an illness, an injury, whatever it is, conflict in your family, conflict with your colleagues, things that you manage to deal with and move on and become more resilient, learn something from the experience, that's great. It means you're capable. It means you're competent. It means you have some strengths, some resilience, resources. All this is really great, and I invite you to really remind yourself of that. And the more you do that, the more you go into a habit of reminding yourself of your resources and what you're capable of, the easier it will become to deal with stressful situations, have a constructive inner dialogue, and also learn from the experience. Because coping with stress for me is not just dealing with it and managing. I think we should learn from such situations. The next thing could be a bit stronger, like what have I accomplished? What am I proud of? Maybe you want to play this game. Maybe you don't. I know that some people don't really like it to kind of sit down and think, oh, I'm proud of myself because blah, blah, blah. For some people, this doesn't come naturally. And I understand. I also have to practice doing that. But sometimes I manage. And sometimes I have these moments when I'm really proud of something that I did or something I accomplished or some difficulty I overcame, and occasionally it works and then I feel like I'm a few centimeters taller maybe for a few minutes. I also like to think of motivation. When I mentioned my postdoc earlier and how challenging that was and how I found it really scary and overwhelming, I had a lot of motivation to try and make this work. I had a lot of motivation to go outside my comfort zone and just take on this challenge. And this helped me to deal with all the stress and the anxiety I had. Maybe sometimes when you feel stressed, it's worth asking yourself, why am I in this situation? What is my motivation to stay in the situation and deal with the stress rather than avoiding it by just completely changing the circumstances? For example, it could be that you have a job that you really enjoy and it's 80% fine and then 10% and 10% really annoying and stressful. How strong are the 80%? Because if the 80% are really great and you have strong motivation to stay in your job for that, then it will change your perspective on dealing with the 10% you find really annoying. And it could even be motivation to actively learn to deal with the stressful situations on purpose, to get better at dealing with that. It can almost become like a game where you experiment with several ways how you can deal with the stressful situations you know will come up because they have been coming up so frequently. One of the questions I ask myself then is it worth it? Or also, if you want to decide something, maybe between several jobs or several new projects, would it be worth the stress that I expect to have? Or how much stress would I be willing to take for this job, for moving there, for having a family, for, I don't know, moving into a different living situation, whatever it is. If you see conflict coming up at the horizon, I also invite you to ask yourself some questions. What are my contributions to the conflict? Can I change something in order to avoid that it actually happens? Do I find resources in myself to go and resolve this conflict before it becomes bigger? Or can I endure this situation rather than really make an open conflict happen? Sometimes it's a choice that we make. Is it sometimes better to provoke an open conflict in order to get everything on the table and out in the open rather than have it kind of under the carpet? sometimes that's a good option. But of course, it's difficult. The last thing I wrote down in my notes is learn through compassionate criticism. And then also I wrote be kind, because I'm practicing to be kind to myself no matter how annoyed I am or stressed or anxious or scared or maybe angry sometimes or sad. Whatever it is, I'm trying to be kind to myself in my internal conversation. And this is also what I mean by learning through compassionate criticism, because I think I want to be critical with what I think. I want to question and challenge some of my thinking, some of my beliefs. But I want to do it with curiosity, with compassion. I want to be kind to myself when I do it and not mean or judgmental. And I want to take these opportunities and these questions and then learn from my internal dialogue. For example, earlier when I explained how you could try and challenge statements like, I could never do blah, 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 through the questions, you will hopefully learn something about yourself. You could learn why you think that you could never do this. And you can try and find a sentence that is more true, that really captures what this is about, rather than just saying, I could never do that. By being curious and compassionate and by really being kind to yourself while you ask these critical questions, you can learn something about yourself, your beliefs, and you can maybe open up a space for new behavior and new possibilities in the future. That's a combination that I find really powerful. And a lot of this works just by ourselves, just with our internal dialogue, maybe some note-taking. But it's great to do this and share thoughts with another person. There's a lot of stuff that I deal with internally, but I really enjoy having some people in my life where I can go if I feel stuck. It's really great to go somewhere and to say, okay, here's the situation. I have already had my internal dialogue. I asked myself many questions and I think I clarified this and this a little bit, but there is still this big lump of stuff that is chaotic and I have no idea how to deal with that. I'm really stuck. Maybe you can help me. And it's wonderful to have an opposite, another person you can talk to, a person to whom you can try and explain your situation, which already helps. Maybe the person will be a good listener and compassionate and ask some good questions and see the situation just in a different light than you do. Because as always, we are stuck in our own thinking. We cannot really leave our head. And another person might see something that you just didn't before, and that can be really valuable. It's one of the things that we practice in these workshops, and I was impressed by how the participants did that and how well they listened, let the other person speak, maybe ask some questions, and really compassionately and curiously guided the other person to maybe some new ideas, maybe a new way to look at something. It was great to watch, and I'm really grateful that you let yourself try this with each other. Thank you. That's the end of this podcast episode. I will find the music again for the end. And thanks a lot for listening. If there's anything in here that you would like to discuss further in more depth, please feel free to contact me. We can do a one-on-one, or we can do another workshop, or I can do another podcast episode. Whatever you might find helpful, just let me know. I'm happy to do something about it if I can. Thanks for listening.